Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Keith here, joining you once again. We're going to go into the Word of God today. And today we're going to talk about the inward witness. The inward witness. And I'm going to share what that is all about, this inward witness. So before we start, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for another day. We bless your name. You are good, and your mercies endure forever. So, Lord, I just pray for those who are hearing this, Lord, that they will be doers of your word and not hearers only, and that they will be led by your spirit. So, Lord, we thank you, we bless you. And as you go into your word today, well, let light come, revelation come, healing come, deliverance come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 16. Verse 13, John chapter 16, verse 13. And it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." You hear that? He will show you things to come. Verse 14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you." That is the Holy Spirit's ministry. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit shall not speak of himself, but he shall take of mine and show it to you. Holy Spirit is here to reveal Jesus to us. He is God, but he doesn't speak of himself, and we shouldn't try to change that. Verse 14 says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you." Right? So this is not talking about falling into trances or having open visions or seeing angels or hearing voices. Right? You can know quicker than you can explain it. You could get a glimpse of how this is going to turn out. You are not necessarily seeing things with your natural eyes, but you can get a sense and you could just know this is the way this needs to happen. You can get a sense and know that something is about to happen, so you can make preparations, you can make adjustments. And if you know the truth in every situation, if you know how things will turn out, will that give you an advantage over unbelievers or even Christians that don't know how to be led? So much is available to us in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, hearing from the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How many of you think that sons of God can be and should be led by the Holy Spirit? Do you think that all Christians are being led by the Holy Spirit? What are some things that are leading people? Let me give you a few examples of the wrong ways to be led. You can be head led. You think about it, you do a lot of research if you have to make a decision. And then you make the decision based on the information that you have. Head-led. Is that the same as being spirit-led? Think about it. Or you can be feeling-led. You know, being led by your emotions. You get mad, so you do something because you get upset or you hurt. You react. You say something. You say something that will get you in trouble because you are being led by your feelings. Or you can be desire led. Led by the desire of your eyes, the desires of your flesh. Or you can be need led, right? You need this. I have to have it. Or you can be opportunity led. You know, that's a great opportunity, right? And we're going to talk about that a little later. But these ways of being led are not the same as being led by the Holy Spirit. Because When you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're not being led by anything that's happening or not happening externally. We are being led internally. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Right? Also, don't be money led. Well, it's better money. That's not a leading. It's big money. It's a lot of money. It's got to be God that's leading you. People have missed God over money. Also, don't be price led. A lot of people don't even pray about it. They just look for the cheapest one. Has anyone been around long enough to know that the cheapest one is not always the best one? The cheapest one is the one that you only have to do one time. It works great. Or the best one, I should say, is the one that you only have to do one time. It works great, lasts a long time. The cheapest one may start off great, but then it fades at the end. And then you end up buying another one, right? But how will you know? How will you know what's the best one? How will you know? You and I can't know all the factors or all the variables, but the Holy Spirit does. And if you follow the Holy Spirit, He will lead you so you won't have to do so much or do so little or at the wrong time. If you follow that witness, you will know which one to get it, when to wait, and what to do. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you pray every second. It means don't stop praying. You pray as a lifestyle. If you're going to buy a TV or a stove or a fridge, the difference between you buying an appliance that will give you problems that you have to take back a few times, or having one that never gives a problem, you got to ask the Lord. He has a right, as a believer, he has a right to get involved in every area of your life. You don't have to pray an hour at a time on these things. All the time you're praying, little prayers of faith. And when I say little, I don't mean any, I don't mean any effectiveness, but in length. You're praying under your breath quietly. Lord, I ask you to direct me in the selection of my item. Help me to pick the best one for me. Now God has a right to direct you. Now you have given him permission to enter into this decision. And this should be happening all the time. Pray without ceasing. Releasing faith should be a lifestyle. 8:14, we go back there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So sons of God should not be money-led, head-led, fear-led, opportunity-led, feeling-led. How about friend-led? How about real relative-led? How about news-led? How about politically correct led? We should be spirit led all the time in everything. Now, you might get overwhelmed a little bit, but you won't learn all this in a day or two. But if you check your heart and acknowledge him in all your ways and practice this daily, you will get better at it. You will grow in it. You will develop in it until you can be spirit led even in the small things in life. Romans 8, verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16 says, "The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." This verse tells you how the spirit leads you. The Amplified says, "The spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of." And if he can confirm and testify that we are children of God, then he can let you know other things. What part of our being does he bear witness with? Not our head, not our body, not our emotions. He bears witness with our spirit, the core of our being. Because remember, we are three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. And if we practice paying attention to this, we can miss less and less and less and get it right more often. In every one of our decisions, you have help if you check in with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path." If he's directing your path, you'll be going in the right direction. You'll be going the right way. You will end up at the right place at the right time with the right thing going on. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's turn there. And it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can I tell what's God and what's not? Your main support is the word of God. The Lord will quicken to you, I should say, the right word for your situation. And it will help you identify what you're hearing and what you're sensing as him or not him. The word of God. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How can you keep from yielding to the desires of the flesh? The wrong desires of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and you will do that automatically. Verse 17, Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do things that you would do. Paul is writing to born-again believers here. When we get born again, it was the spirit that became a new creation in Christ, not the man on the outside. You have the same body with its sinful inclinations, with the same desires and temptations as people who don't know God and are not saved. So don't be too hard on yourself when you tend to go with the flesh over and over again. Remember that is your spirit has become a new creation. And you're working on the flesh, right? We have not changed on the inside. Or I should say, we have been changed on the inside when we are born again. And we are told to do something with our mind and to do something with our bodies. But we are to get our mind renewed with the word of God. And we are to keep our bodies under control. And this verse is showing us that there is a pull. The body's trying to pull you one way, and your spirit is trying to pull you another way. Verse 18 says, but if you are led of the spirit, you are not under the law. What's the key here? Being led by the spirit. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All the things that I've just described here, what are they? They are the works of the flesh. Would that be different from the leading of the Spirit? For sure. The next verse talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to lead you in the way that He is. He is the Holy Spirit. His leadings are going to be holy. He is the Spirit of truth. His leadings are going to be truth. He is the Spirit of peace. His leadings are going to be peace. So in verse 19 and 20, 21, we see a list of things we know that could not be his leadings. And in verse 22, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we see a list that we know are his leadings. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So let's look at the works of the flesh so that we can recognize them. Remember that the word of God helps you discern what's him and what's not. Verse 19, Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. If the Spirit of God is leading people to, is the Spirit of God leading people to have affairs with other people's spouses? If you have a pull to get involved with somebody else's spouse, what do you know? This is not God. It doesn't matter how many records or 80s hits or 70s hits, you listen to that say, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's being led by your feelings. That's being led by your desires, your eyes, and it's not love. It's not the love of God. Oh, I can't live without them. I need them. Another song. I never knew love like this this before. You love how they make you feel. And if they quit making you feel that way, now you fall out of love and the thrill is gone. And we are looking for spouse number five. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he any man. Verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. The New Living Translation says, don't be misled, my brothers and sisters. What would mislead you? Your flesh. Did your flesh get born again? No, you can't trust your flesh any further than you can throw it. Your flesh is going to do anything that will allow that you allow it to do. James 1:12. Let's look at that in the New Living Translation. It said, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Verse 13. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Verse 14. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. So you can't blame this on the devil. Your flesh wants it. You don't have to follow every urge or desire or every thought that comes across your mind. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. The wages of sin is death. It started out as a desire, as a thought, as a feeling. Well, and when all is said and done, there is devastation. There's destruction. Families are destroyed. Churches destroyed. Finances ruined. Was it really worth it? Because if you follow your flesh, it will ruin your life. Let's go back to Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Fornication is translated harlotry, whoredom. It basically means being loosed. You're sleeping with anybody and everybody you can. How many know that the Holy Spirit will never lead you to do that, right? And we could go on. Uncleanness. The works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. The works of the flesh, right? So when your flesh is trying to get you to be mean or selfish, what is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? Holy Spirit is leading you to love. Can you be nice to someone when you feel like slapping them? Can you give a gift when you feel like running them over? Has the Holy Spirit ever led you to be depressed? No. What's he leading you to? Joy. Has the Holy Spirit ever led you to be scared and worried? No, he's leading you peace. Has the Holy Spirit ever led you to be impatient, hot-headed, quick-tempered? No, he will lead you in long suffering. What does long suffering mean? It means that you suffer for a long time. It's uncomfortable, but you can handle it because the greater one lives inside of you. How many think that the child of God needs to learn to bite their lip and be quiet? Bite your lip and be quiet. Have some self-control. Holy Spirit will lead you in self-control. So today, I just want to encourage you to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I know it's easy to say, but it's practice. If you are at stage zero right now, that's fine. Just continue to read your word of God, meditate on the word of God, and you want to get to the point where the Holy Spirit will lead you in every decision that you have to make. And I'm telling you, when you get to that point, I haven't gotten to that point as yet. I'm still growing. I'm still maturing. But it's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you respond and you see the results because you were obedient, to the Spirit of God. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray over those who are listening. Lord, that their reaction time to when you speak to them and when they respond get shorter and shorter and shorter every time, where it's instantaneous on a consistent level. That they will study your word, meditate on your word, let that word become a part of them, to change them from the inside out, to change to grow their spirit man, so that their flesh is affected. The flesh will be obedient to the Spirit of God. Obedient to when they tell it, the flesh do something, and they will do it. So, Lord, we just thank you. Bless every head bowed in your presence, Lord. Oh, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And once again, Pastor Keith, it's a pleasure to be with you today. God bless you, and we'll talk again soon. Bye for now.